No, 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 no. That is not food. Don't do that again. Nap time. No! No! I told you not to do that. Found them! No! No!
This is the way. As the Mandalorian delivers on his bounties, the trio of Sean, Mike, and Damian deliver on their analysis, in-depth dialogue, and opinionated ideas as the team bands together to break down all that is Disney Plus's The Mandalorian Season 2. This is We Have Spoken. Chapter 10, The Passenger We Have Spoken is back. We've got Damian, we've got Mike, we've got a episode to talk about. We watched it on the Friday morning of the debut, 5:23 a.m., approximate time after figuring out some troubleshooting. We made it happen. We were semi-live, sort of synchronous, not really. Some emoji, some not emoji. And we just wanted to enjoy the experience. We won't do a live reaction to it all the time, but we hope you enjoyed our conversation on Chapter 9. Thank you for all the listens. We had over 30 in the weeks, and that's a great, great goal. We've never had 30, and I'm happy that the show is growing. I'm happy that the Red 5 Network, if you're unaware, has been helping with that growth. Make sure you follow Red 5 Network over on Twitter. But it is November 9th. We've got the gents here to talk about The Passenger, and apparently The Passenger was not supposed to be the name of the episode according to Rotten Tomatoes, and they goofed, as we found out earlier. Mike debunked the nasty Rotten Tomatoes rumors. I don't like looking into leaks. I don't want to know any of the anythings. I don't want to know titles. I want to know nothing when I go into this, because I always feel like the title, just like anything, kind of leads you down a path of bad thoughts. What's your before we get started, what's your feelings on leaks? Start with Mikey, because you're the one that broke the Rotten Tomatoes stories.
Oh, so the whole Rotten Tomatoes story kind of threw me for a loop, because I don't even know why I went on Rotten Tomatoes today. Just, I was like, let me go. I was bored. Let me go on Rotten Tomatoes. So it was like front page Rotten Tomatoes over in the corner. Mandalorian review, chapter 10, The Confrontation.
What?
And I was like, wait, what? So then I went, I was like, let me see this. So I went to the Mandalorian season 2 page on Rotten Tomatoes, and they had all of these names released for all the chapters. And I'm like, no, this cannot be right, because also one name that was missing was The Passenger. So, I don't get it. I don't get it. What happened. I don't know if they just put up a bunch of, you know, Star Wars-esque titles and put the in front of it and just put it in the dartboard, and it's like, all right, episode 10, boom, confrontation, maybe. Let's go.
Maybe. But you fell into a dark, deep hole like The Mandalorian did, and you made it unscathed. Hopefully none of those titles are a thing, so your brain can be set at ease. Damian, what do you think about leaks? What do leaks do for you?
I mean, I don't dig too much into them because I don't want to be spoiled. Like, I want to just watch and just genuinely be surprised. Like, if someone was like, hey, there's a leak for Chapter 9 before we watched it, and then I saw, oh, man, Boba Fett comes back at the end, like, it would have just taken away from the impact of when you see him at the end of the episode and you're like, oh, wow. Like, I'll read, like, for the Rotten Tomatoes stuff with the titles, I mean, especially for Mandalorian, it really does kind of tell you what's going to happen in that episode, or, like, what you can fully expect in that episode. you know, it's like, oh, the gang finds Boba Fett or whatever the case is. But, you know, for me, I try and stay away from it because I like to, especially with Star Wars, just genuinely be surprised with like some stuff, especially with COVID, like New Mutants came out. Mm. And I was like, okay, I'm interested in that. But then it's delayed and delayed and delayed. And then, oh, it's coming to theaters. And at that point, I was just like, I'm going to go on Reddit and just read what happened and go from there. But for like a Star Wars standpoint, like I like to genuinely be surprised and just like live in the moment for the episode. Because I mean, man, if it was like 20 years ago, internet was still around, but you still wouldn't like know everything about everything. Yeah. So
yeah, you'd have
I just kind of like to live in that world.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you on that. I try to follow people that there's one person on Instagram that in their stories will reveal everything, but they give you warnings. They're like, listen, here it comes. And I'm like, I appreciate that, you know, but it's just like the trolls out there that will hide stuff in seemingly innocent things. And then you get hit with it and it's sad and it's boo. Anyways,
the one leak I really don't mind is I'll check to see if the runtime of the episode is leaked. I don't mind that.
Yeah, that's fine. Like,
but like, don't give me any details. Just tell me how long the next episode's going
to
be.
Yeah, and that's big for us because we need to know whether or not we're starting at 5 a.m. or 5:20, and that makes a big difference in getting up on Friday. So we rely on that very vital information to plan out our end of week session there. So we have the continuation of the story from Chapter 9, the Marshal. Our Mando friend gets the Boba Fett armor. He's on his way back to Mos Eisley, and that's exactly where it opens up. So in my one-sentence summary, our opening segment, here is what I've got. Mando gets lead, travels sublight, and gets trapped in a horror film.
Love it.
That's me. That's what I got. That's, remember, we're not going to go through all the details of Chapter 10. We're just going to give you, you know, our format. And if we hit everything, we hit everything. We assume you've watched this. If you don't understand what we're talking about, you're in the future. I don't know what to tell you. Damien, what's your just one sentence summary?
Okay, so I watched it about 3 times. Thought it was a gecko. Could be a frog. Not really sure. So my one sentence summary is Mando saves 15% on ship insurance by transporting a gecko.
Wasn't expecting it, and I love it.
I have to follow that.
Oh my God. I am so sorry about that, Mike. I mean, I was... So far, Damien's not like his summaries have been just hilarious. You're gonna have to go last next time, Damien. So you better come up with a good one. All right, Mike, what kind of boring odyssey did you come up with this time?
Mando, still in search of other Mandos, taxis a Prego frog lady and a hungry child on a bumpy ride to an ice planet to wind up in Starship Troopers.
All right, so I might move the one sentence summary to the end of the podcast because it actually might be a great segue into the next one. I'm gonna put a note there. That's great. I love
that. Was like an IMDb like summary for a movie, right there. It's perfect.
I love these. These one sentence summaries are so funny to me. Oh my God! I hope you enjoyed that. Let us know what your one sentence summary is. You can DM us, and we'll try to read them out on the next episode. I think that'd be so funny. Okay, some highlights now. Again, in no particular order, I'm going first. My number one. And again, if we cross paths within our highlights, just speak on up and you know, come on into the conversation. My first highlight. I don't know if there's any particular, like, first, second, or third. I'm just kind of wrote them down as I watched the episode for the, I want to say, technical third time, but I've watched it 4 times, the first 20 minutes 4 times, and the last part only 2 times. Anyways, my first highlight is SpaceX rocket pack auto-landing with child running to him and Mando shrug. Everything about that scene was great.
Yeah. So fantastic. The shrug was the one thing. You just looked down and was just like, well, it happened.
Yeah, like yeah, that's exactly what I meant to do. And it was awesome. I just like how it came back. Like, we knew it was going to happen. Like, we kind of predicted it, but it was just so nonchalant. Like, yeah, it's no big deal. It'll come back. It's fine. And that was the first time I think we saw, like, affection from the child, you know, running to him like, no, I need you, sir, because that was scary. The guy had a knife to my neck, and I didn't like that at all. Although knife to neck, what I would feel like would elicit some kind of angry response, and it did not. So that's very interesting, but I love the SpaceX rocket pack. That was for me. Did you have that? Did anybody else have that?
Yeah, that was one of mine. Nice. The Tito going for the ride, and then just
yeah,
like you hear the thud you hear when he drops was just fantastic.
Oh, that was great. The thud is awesome. All right, I don't want to take anybody else's highlights. So Mike, you go next. We're not gonna step on each other's toes.
We probably all have the same one.
I know
anyway.
We do. We definitely do.
The chase into the trench on the ice planet. It just gave me such New Hope vibes. And just like you see everybody diving down into the trench, it just gave me Death Star vibes. And I loved every second of that.
So this scene had to involve gravity because they are in atmosphere, right? And that's a completely different flight than space, where you can float wherever you want to go. And although the maneuver of him shut his engines off and going straight down, by the way, benefited nothing. No one. All it benefited was me laughing at how distressed the frog lady was, hanging on for dear life, and just couldn't believe this was happening. But it didn't turn out to be anything. Like, that should have been the move into the cavern to get away. And then that would have made more sense. But it was just like, yeah, we're going to do this death-defying move to only be chased more, as if it was a waste of our time. Other than that, I loved the trails off the wings in the sky. It's fantastic.
I feel like I try that move in Squadrons a lot, and I just die.
That's why they can't have it in atmosphere, because there would be way too many deaths. There's literally in Flight Simulator, it says, you know, your plane, it doesn't ever show a plane crash, but it'll just say, it'll black screen, it'll be like, your plane was under too much stress. It crashed. It's like, yeah, I guess so. Oh my God. Dame, did you have the chase on your list?
I did. The chase was one. Like we were talking about earlier, highlights were kind of a little bit of a struggle. Like the first two, I was trying to aim for three. So obviously the chase was just, that's a no-brainer. It was just such a great callback. I kind of like seeing that the child had like a hammock, and the Mando's sleeping quarters is smaller than a jail cell, and he still sleeps with the helmet on. Love the dedication. But my third one, so when we first watched the episode, I just kind of like left it with like, man, this frog lady is just, she annoys me. But then the second watch and the third watch, I was like, she's actually a pretty good like side character. Yeah. She, you know, was tech savvy, reprogramming the droid to talk to Mando.
Yep.
Save the child with a blaster.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then obviously like in hot tubs, I mean, who doesn't like a good hot tub? Agreed. So, I mean, you know, ultimately the first watch, I was like, this character's just annoying. Like, I just want to get rid of this story right now. But then watching it a couple times, I'm like, okay, it's not too bad. And obviously like the story with them is going to move on. It wasn't just a one-off episode where going to see more. But yeah, I thought in terms of like a, you know, alien character, and especially like a side character in all these chapters, like she was pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wasn't annoyed with her at the beginning. I just thought she was desperate. I thought she was helpless. So it was nice to see, and I wrote down in my noticing section, her mechanical skill. And then of course, as you mentioned, the blaster at the end was, I didn't even, Mando was like, what the hell? You know, like, where'd you get that little mini gun from Will Smith and Men in Black? So it's like,
The noisy cricket?
The noisy cricket. So that's good. Yeah, I love that. Okay, all right. I have, of course, although I hated it while watching it, there was a lot of grimaces. Just the spider horror of this episode was so spine-tingly grimacing, watching them be chased, and it's overwhelming, and the CGI, once again, on point. There is nothing Mando could do. They were going to die. There's no surviving this. And there were just so many spiders. I can't even stand it. Unbelievable.
Yeah, watching that scene in the dark in my basement was not great.
Oh my god.
I didn't like that at all.
Oh my god. And and M. Doc Cassini will add more to those spiders a little bit later, so stay tuned for that for sure. Ooh. Anybody have the spider horror as their highlights or not really?
I had it as a low light because that's just terrifying.
Fair.
Get out of here. I was like, please.
Yeah, I'm done with these. I'm done with the mouth coming up on the cockpit. I thought it was going to start razoring through like a Rathtar.
Yeah, no thanks.
Falcon. My God, it was gigantic. And it was the same one that got blown up. Like, you thought it was dead. Nope, just asleep. Nah. Nope.
Yep.
Always never dead. Unbelievable.
Just got his bell rung. You know, it's pre-concussion age.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
Get some smelling salts. Put them back in there.
Exactly. Any other highlights? Anybody not mentioned just yet?
No.
Okay. I enjoyed the X-wing conversation prior to Chase.
Yeah.
I did enjoy that just because it was so nonchalant and Mando's acting like he didn't know that his beacon was off, and I've got a check. I don't think I have that hardware on. Like, it gave me Han Solo vibes in the Death Star when he's speaking into the communicator, saying, "Everything's fine. It's normal. Situational. How are you?" And when Mando goes, "Nothing," you know, like he doesn't know what to do. I did enjoy that scene because it made me laugh several times through it as he was talking to Carson and Wolf, the two X-Wing pilots. But that's the best part that we picked out in our highlights. But we do have what I am now dubbing the Stormtrooper segment because there were a lot of misses in this episode. So what? I don't have a lot. I know Mike probably has a lot. Damien, just by numerical, if you could use your abacus, how many lowlights do you have in this? Because I only have two.
I have two. Okay. And I did mention, obviously, spiders. Mm-hmm. And the other one was just kind of like a nitpick thing for me where, like, the child just kept eating all the damn eggs the entire time. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You know what you're doing is bad. Just like, come on. And we're all parents. So it's familiar territory. We're like, don't do that. And they still do it. Yeah. And you're like, but this is, you know, a species on the line here. Yeah. But also the child's 50. So I'm like, where's the the rationale there? Yeah, I don't understand. Oh, but that was like the child was kind of a jerk in this episode.
Yeah.
Snacking on the eggs the entire time. I'm like, come on now. He had his little bento box, like he was fine. He didn't need food. He was good to go.
That's not one of my lowlights. I didn't pinpoint it. And I'm gonna get out of the way in just a minute and let Mike take this over. I thought two things really missed for me. One was Pelly. I thought she was terrible in this.
She was awful in this episode.
I just thought she was way out of her element. Like her in little scenes, like with the droids, is fine. But like gambling, I mean, some of her lines were funny. But like the one that really threw me was the entire explanation based off of three noises. And, like, basically explaining the plot line of the story.
Right.
Like, what? Pelly, cut me a break here. I'm tired of your voice. I'm over Pelly.
Yeah. That was a quick turn. You loved Pelly.
Oh, my God. Like, I couldn't stand her in this episode. So
it was it was such a turn, because like even when we saw her in chapter 9, I'm like, oh, she's back. Yeah. This is great. And then this episode, she's like, pay for my bet. Give me all your beef jerky. And yeah, then like just ships them out there like on false pretenses.
And like
even Mando's like, I'm not a taxi service. Right.
Yeah, I just met her. I'm gonna vouch for her. Like, what? Dude, you're so weird. I don't even get what you're saying. And then the second thing was like how Mando was scooping the eggs out of the hot tub. I thought was so stupid.
Well, can we talk about how the frog lady is irresponsible because when you're pregnant, you're apparently not supposed to be in a hot tub? I'm pretty sure, like, when it's my wife was going species. Through... It doesn't matter.
So you're comparing your wife to a frog. I get it. It's fine. Oh my God!
Good thing she does not listen to this.
Yeah, well, one day she will in the future. I could do without it. Like, hey, we got to get out of this hot tub. Gather your eggs, and oh no, there's spiders. Like that's what I could have done with. But oh my God, I couldn't stand the way because like he was like, scoop. You can't see this. Scoop, and then he would put it in his other hand. What are you doing? Why are you wasting so much time? It's so dumb.
Like, what are you doing? We talk about like why did they have to have the bloop sound every time it went into the little like lunchbox, whatever it was?
This episode deserves a Razzie for the sound editing. Like,
every single time Mando took one of those eggs.
Oh my God. Oh
my missed God. Opportunity there was the child bobbing for apples in the hot tub with the eggs.
So we
but
have
then,
a,
like, obviously, Frog Lady would have known and would have, like, ruined the whole thing, but, I mean, she, like...
Oh, she knew.
Had to have,
oh, she knew.
She had to.
She's like, wait a second, I had 30, I have 12 left. What's going on here?
He ate three that we at least saw during the episode. It wasn't even eat. He was just like, one bite. Yeah. That was it. Like an oyster.
Not even cutting them in half like grapes for a toddler.
No.
Like, what is happening here?
Yeah,
everybody's irresponsible in this episode.
This episode had Halloween and Thanksgiving all in one.
Perfect fall episode.
Snacks going on. All right, Mike. I know we've covered a little bit of yours, and I know you have got some gripes. You might even squeak your chair just for the hell of it in this episode.
I have been staying so still to not have the chair squeak. So my lowlights are not necessarily specifics. Like there were things that annoyed me. Yeah. Like why didn't Mando just use his jetpack to fly to Mos Eisley instead of doing a farmer's walk for 500 miles through the sand? Mm. Or why doesn't he have an adult toolkit? And he's like fixing the Razor Crest with one drill. Like these are things that annoy me. But my low light is literally the entire episode.
Ooh.
Like, whoa.
There are parts of it that I did like. There are a lot of parts that I did like of this episode. Obviously, I struggled to find the three highlights, but there are things from the episode that I did like and found endearing. But, two episodes in, and we're already into a new lather, rinse, repeat from season one.
Mm-hmm.
Where season one was go to a new planet, mm-hmm. find a new enemy, mm-hmm. escape the new enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Season two so far has through two episodes have been go to a new planet, find a new monster, defeat new monster.
Speaking truth, facts, absolutely, 100%.
So the spiders, terrifying, absolutely, but. I said it in my one sentence summary. It basically became Starship Troopers. Yeah. It reminded me so much of Starship Troopers with a little bit of Wreck-It Ralph in there.
Mm.
Like when Wreck-It Ralph goes to get the
metal.
And he steps on one egg and then all the bugs come.
That's why, like, it was so familiar to me. Damn. I was trying to make that connection. Thank you.
This episode threw so many different movies into one. Like it was a smoothie of just nonsense. It's like if you get your jaw wired shut, so I'm gonna put mashed potatoes, steak, and some green beans into a smoothie.
Yeah.
These are all good things, but it doesn't work well as a smoothie.
Yeah. I would have taken bento box, frog egg, and spider into the smoothie to really connect it to the episode.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry about that.
We're gonna allow that one to slide this time.
So my the other biggest Mike's gripe that I've had. So we're now 10 episodes into the entire story. Mm-hmm. All right. There have been 3 really huge cliffhangers in 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. 30% of your episodes have had a huge cliffhanger, which have never been addressed. Mm. And I'm sure that just like with season 1, we were like strung along for the ride of mm-hmm. like, when's this all going to connect? And it connects in a huge way. Well, if you're going to stay on the same planet to start off the episode and you have a huge cliffhanger at the end of episode 9 and start on the same planet in episode 10, you have to address the episode to me. Like, I don't want to see it come in episode 15 where 3 cliffhangers come together and then it gives you 10 more.
Yep.
So we need a payoff. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes.
We have invested in this show. It has given us so many wonderful moments, but are you saying that The Mandalorian is running razor thin?
I am not saying that it's running razor thin or Razor Crest thin. Tangent, doesn't Razor Crest sound like a space toothpaste?
Yes. Yes, it does.
It's not a ship. It's a toothpaste. Sorry.
Sounds like a honey-do list for going on vacation. You got your Razor Crest? Yep, got both.
Got both, absolutely.
Toothbrush? Okay, we're good to go.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I just don't want to see it fall into this,
I agree. We can't allow the facade of a very high production Star Wars show to get in the way of a story. Because right now, as it stands, we're in the same position as we were last episode, minus the ship's beat up.
Right. Yeah.
The ship is beat up. There's no way he has enough money to fix it. There's no way. He's already said it. I can't fix this hull. It's beyond my repair. So wherever they go, it's going to be with no ship, and that's going to come later in the predictions, I'm sure. So, yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I agree with you. We've been talking about this. I mean, would you rank this lower than the Tatooine episode? The one you didn't really like?
The Gunslinger?
Yeah.
I would equate this to The Fly from Breaking Bad, where it does like nothing to advance the plot.
You would think that with what we would think is a limited series, although they I think are starting production on season 3 soon.
Yeah.
That they would have like, all right, we're gonna do a few fillers, we're gonna do a payoff here. You know, you think I would feel like they have this under control, but they did waste a lot of time last season. So maybe they're wasting their time early, and then the last six will start to ramp it up. And I think, and I'll give a shout out to the We Podcast and We Know Things who covered this a little bit. And Greg mentioned that there's no stakes right now. There's no stakes. There's nothing. None. We knew he was going to survive the Krayt Dragon. We know they're going to survive the spiders. It's episode 2 or chapter 10. Like, there's no stakes. No one's going to die. Like, we talked about who's going to die in our opening episodes. And, like, we don't know what Grief's doing. We don't know what Kara's doing. They're going to die. They're donezo, as we would say. But they're not even in the show yet. We're predicting death, and they're not even there yet. We've seen nobody, you know. We've seen no one. So you're 100% right. I agree with you. I agree with you for sure.
And there's one last little gripe I have, but I'll save it for the noticing section.
Fair enough.
Because I'm sure you have also noticed it as well.
Absolutely, which is a great segue to what you've noticed. And you mentioned it earlier, Mike. You said the Tito earlier. Alien with the knife and opener connection to episode 7. I am pretty certain it's the same person.
I think so too.
It's the same, at least alien species.
Yes.
That scares me and Rey while brushing her little part. That looked weird on camera. Don't do that again. I'll do two noticings and then I'll hand it off. I liked in this episode, and I noticed that Mando is very vulnerable in this episode. Like, he didn't know a language.
Yeah.
Got boosted off his speeder and almost got his butt kicked. His ship done crashed. He lost 18 eggs. He's not a very good communicator. And they almost all died. Like, he did not put on a good face, poker face for the X-Wing people. He sounded silly. And this whole, I mean, he was very vulnerable this episode. And I appreciate that. Because I don't need a superhero out of the Mandalorian. I need a human. And in this episode, I noticed he was human. I'll hand it off.
Good call.
Thank you. Dames.
So for me, a couple things I noticed. The child was like more vocal this episode than I can recall in a lot of other ones. You had like the cooing and the burping, like after every egg ingested. But the child was just like way more vocal, and like obviously a lot of it was adorable and cute, so it was just great. But yeah, it was definitely more vocal. Then in the cantina, so we see Pelly, and I'm like, okay, and I'm pretty sure that was the booth that Han and Greedo sat at in A New Hope.
Okay.
So that was a neat little callback. Good but job. Then I'm like, it's weird with the aliens, because usually it's like a weird head and like a normal like humanoid kind of body, but Dr. Mandible was just like a straight up ant.
Yeah, it was.
And Peyton Reed directed this episode, who also directed Ant-Man. So I was like, okay, that might be like a little callback to that. Which was kind of cool. And the last thing I did notice was the Frog Lady and Dr. Mandible were in, I think it was chapter 4 or 5 of the first season in the cantina.
The Gunslinger. Yeah, that's the one I hated.
What? That's a so great connection.
I went back and was like, let me just like take a fast forward to the cantina scene to see like who was in there, who wasn't in there. Because it looked a little empty during this chapter. But going back in there, I was like, oh, shit, there's she. Yeah. And there's the Dr. Mandible guy. And that was pretty much, like, the, you know, some things I noticed, like, at least from, like, a callback perspective. And some stuff that I liked. And then one cool thing I read on the internet was the same suit actor that was Queel in season 1 was the Frog Lady.
I figured that. Yeah, I figured that.
And she's like, there's like this Mandalorian Facebook group, and she's like actually on there. And like, I guess people like champion for her all the time and are like, hey, thanks for everything you do. And she's like very like involved with it. Awesome. That's how I found pretty out. Cool. So I was like, that's pretty cool. I'll throw it in there.
I love that. That's awesome. Great, great noticings. You covered a bunch of mine, which is great. You covered this. I put slurps and I put kid talking gibberish, and then I put final slurp because that's how the episode ends. And I thought that was fun. You also covered bento box earlier, which I loved. Love the bento box. So you've knocked off a lot of my list. Great job, Damien. I'm
sorry.
No, that's great. This is why we're doing this. That means I don't even have to talk about it. So that's awesome. Great job. Mikey, what do you have in your noticing pile?
So I also noticed the Peyton Reed giant ant Dr. Mandible thing. That was I thought that was really cool. This one little like random thing I loved was the frost buildup on Mando's helmet.
Nice.
Like, and it's just like, it was just cool to see all the frost buildup on this ice planet. And the little hammock we've already talked about in the sleeping quarters I loved. But during the conversation with the X-Wing pilots, what I noticed was that for someone who doesn't really know who the Jedi are and talks about sorcerers, he knows, may the force be with you. In my mind, how does Mando know that saying if he knows nothing of the Jedi way?
Good point.
That's an interesting question. Yeah. I don't really know how to answer it. Unless he's leading us to, I guess his statement of, you want me to find, you know, I guess he's getting his information from the armor, right?
Yeah.
The armor seems to be all knowing. So the armor says these are a bunch of wizard sorcerers. You know, Pelly uses thanks the force. We're getting a little bit more force talk. You know, we're 5 years post. People, if I had to take a guess, people probably think Darth Vader's still alive. You know, like, there is no confirmation of his death, technically, you know. People probably still think the Emperor's still alive. People probably think Luke Skywalker doesn't exist. You know, I don't know. And then, if you think about it, I mean, they were purged from history, but not through the Mandalorian Creed, which were probably taught the history of them. But that's a good point. I mean, I don't know. That could very well be a plot hole that you've discovered. And I'm going to actually file it under plot hole right now until I get a better answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point, man, because it could just be something that's like, okay, well, do you just throw it in there to, like, pander to Jedi fans, or is it something like where you live in, like, Delaware County, like, Pennsylvania, Jersey, and you say, go Birds, and you're not a football fan, but you just say it to somebody to say it on a Sunday because you know it's going to put them in a good mood or lighten the tension. Like, I doubt it's that, but, I mean, you know, Mando's been around some places, but obviously not around a ton of people who would be knowledgeable about Jedi.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was just like a random fan service they threw in there and it, you know, people recognize like, okay, well, you just did that to like make us be like, oh, wow, he said that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Or does it actually serve a purpose down the line?
Yeah. And I'm thinking of the timeline, like between A New Hope and the blowing up of the second Death Star. It's not a lot of time.
No.
Less than 10 years, maybe less than 8, without actually looking it up. I mean, they started building the second Death Star in an incredible fast pace compared to the story they told of a 20-year construction. Makes no sense. But, you know.
Well, it's like all the houses going up around me now. Like, they go up in like.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad point. I mean, once you already know how to build it, you know, we're just going to build it up as fast as we can. We know how it works. But it's like. We're not too far removed from, you know, back in the original New Hope scene where he says, your sorcerer's ways, you know, Lord Vader, blah, 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 whatever the line is. And, you know, I find your lack of faith disturbing. I mean, that's only 8 years. You know, I'll just say 8 just to kind of put a number on it. But, I mean, even that's not that far. I mean, I remember 8 years ago was 2012. I could tell you some things that were happening historically. I might be able to tell you all the details, but I could, you know, I could recall some things. I don't think it's far-fetched enough, but at the same time, Mando's been around. I mean, did we ever peg his age? Didn't we say 50? 45? 41? You know, so he's been around since Clone Wars, so he's grown up. He's grown up with the Legends of the Jedi, technically. If he was alive during the B2 battle droids and on all that, you know, and then the great purge of the Empire and whatever. I mean, he had to have been a part of it. You know, they must have learned it some ways. And maybe he, as a survival tactic, he doesn't mention that kind of stuff all the time because that would have pegged you. If you mentioned any Force stuff, it was like, no, you can't say that, you know, and they would take you and lock you away, you know, like literally a suppression. That's exactly what a fascist movement does. You know, it suppresses the news and whatever. So no, but it is a good point. I'm curious. Maybe that thread will unravel itself in the near future, because that I have an interesting theory about coming soon in predictions. I noticed that Boba Fett's rocket was missing when he's carrying all the gear. So he has no ammunition right now in his backpack. In his Boba Fett pack, so I thought that was pretty. It's good. Like, I was glad there was no missile because he clearly shot it. Like,
yeah,
you know, so
the continuation.
Yeah, the continuation of it was a good thing. As they enter the canteen, as he enters the canteen, he passes a big white furry creature, which I believe is the same big white furry creature from Rogue One. Although probably not the same thing, but it was this. I bet you they used the same model and the same. You know, character actor to bring it to life. So it's, again, it's blink and you miss it. But right at the beginning of the cantina scene, the big white furry creature who is prominently advertised in Rogue One and then had approximately 7.5 seconds of actual scene time, a.k.a. Zuvio Rogue One. I didn't read this. I have no confirmation. But I'm looking at these X-Wings, and I'm looking at them, and I'm zeroing in. Are they the original X-Wing models that they shot during the original movies. Just with how they just look different. They don't look CGI. Razor Crest looks CGI. Yeah. These things look different to me. They look a little matte to me. There's no shine to them. They look a little beat up. And then just the mechanism of them opening feels more built than computerized. It's something you'll have to review later. I want to go with the theory that they used the original X-Wings in these shots. I feel like that's pretty accurate. Because they don't even look like the special edition version of A New Hope when they have that flyover of all the X-Wings. And it kind of, it was cool. It was a cool addition, but it didn't match like the luster and the oldness of just the normal scenes. You gotta look at it. You know, that's what I would say. Take a look at that. The dichotomy of the upbeat music of what I would like to call the child's eating song and him eating the spider is terrifying to me. I just can't. I you know, every time he ate the egg, you were like, well, I first thought when he was eating, well, before he ate the egg, that I'm like, is the child a female? Is it feeling motherly tendencies to these eggs? I'm like, this could be a big development if it ended up being a female. And then just slurped it down. I was like, never mind, just hungry. Got it. So like every time they played the little jingle music, I don't know, some kind of piano, some kind of upbeat, you know, you knew he was hungry. And I'm like, oh, he's going toward these little eggs. And that's probably a bad idea because I've seen this movie before. And that was just like a little bit of a wackadoo 90-degree turn. And then just at the end, the rebels being kind of dicky.
Yes.
Yeah, they were. You know, the marksmanship, so though.
Marksmanship, on point. Oh, my God, on point. But they're like, yeah, we're not going to help you. You deal with it. Oh, and turn your transponder on. I like this version of the rebels because they're not all good people. They were kind of dicky, and that's my last noticement. You've been put on notice.
I have actually one more that I thought was pretty cool. I read about with the ice spiders.
Ooh.
So I did some reading into it, and apparently these spiders were supposed to be in The Empire Strikes Back.
Huh.
They were designed by Ralph McQuarrie, I believe his name is. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that to me that they were in this show because they were supposed to be on Dagobah. He designed them to be on Dagobah, which is where Yoda resides.
Bang. Bang. Now, I will file in Mike Cassini's comments because he also noticed the same thingy-me-jiggy, the same details. He says, awesome callback to McQuarrie's design of the white spider. He originally had planned an empire. I think they were meant to be on Dagobah. And I think this ice spiders are supposed to be in the Krikna family. If so, there is a link to Star Wars Rebels because Sabine Wren fought them on Atollin. This could also be a link to Sabine and maybe the next episode. Filoni likes his deep cuts. We'll see. Love it. Great stuff. Oh my goodness. That's good stuff. Great noticings. Despite all the hate you gave the episode, you noticed some great stuff. I'll tell you.
I got one tiny one too.
Mm-hmm.
Just the spider scene. If you go back to Alien or Aliens,
mm-hmm.
it's like it was ripped right out of there. The way all the eggs hatched and just like the horror aspect of that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Aside from the fact that it was spiders, but yeah.
Yeah. God, no, thank you.
The more we're unpacking the episode though, the more I found that like I actually did enjoy it just for finding these little things and like doing the research on it. So I think like, you know, on the surface it was just kind of like, eh. But the more I unpack it, the more I'm like, okay, I guess I did enjoy this episode, but I still want to see the story advance.
I think there's two trains of thoughts just going back exactly what we were talking about. There is the casual Star Wars fan who is watching it for story only, going, what is happening in this show? Because it's nothing. And then there's the us who take the time to read into things and to talk and to discuss it. And then as we're talking, we're learning from each other. And we're going, actually, it was really a decent episode based solely on the Easter eggs detail.
Yes.
One of the first things I wrote down while in the day one was really enjoyed the attention to detail in this episode, just from top to bottom. Like, everything is great, you know, from it's awesome. It's like everything about it is cool. But it just didn't move the story along. And we've covered that. But I bet you there were some lines of dialogue you liked, you picked up on. I've got a few. What do you have? Mr. Mike, give us a line of dialogue.
I only have one. I felt like this one wasn't as quotable as chapter 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's from your girl, Pelly. Even though you dislike
it. First off, I already know what it is because it's the first one I wrote down.
Stop your crying, you'll rust.
Bingo. Love that. Great.
Nice.
That was one of the redeeming dialogues that she had. That it was like an 80-20. Like, she didn't fail fully. She was not F plus. She was a D minus because of that. What about you, Dame? Did you have anything?
I mean, so it's another Pelly, and it was just one of these ones where you're like, what does that actually mean? Where she was like, there's one small skank in the scud pie. And I'm like, huh?
This is why I hated every dialogue. Every line from her was just like, why? Who cares? What are you talking about? Get to
get. I didn't get it. And then just her dialogue around like cooking the crate dragons like meat. She's like, oh, I like it medium rare, and yeah. She's like, and she threw a jab. I forget at what species it was, but she threw a jab at them.
What do you think I am, a Rodian?
I think that's what. Yeah. So,
all right. Okay. Poor
Greedo.
Okay. So we like our raw meat. Get off our back, Pelly. Creep. Yeah, no, it's
But yeah, I don't know what a skank in the scud pie is. I don't know what a scud pie is. I'm
so sound tempting.
I don't want any of that information. Oh my god.
It was just like, okay, and she just rattled it off like no problem, like it was something you would say every day to anybody. And I think that was the one thing that stuck out to me, because it was just kind of like one of those, like, you do like the kind of like Jim looking at the camera like,
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's that. But that one stuck out to me. And obviously, may the force be with you. Just because, okay, you know, it felt like we talked about it, like just maybe a callback just to do a callback.
Yeah.
But hopefully that's not the case. But yeah, that was what I had.
Nice, nice. I had Stop Your Crying, You're Rust. I did have Nothing. Nothing. I giggle at it because it's so out of character. I also had, after they crash and he finds him underneath the sheet and he goes, how many did you eat? I laughed at that so hard. Like, he's distraught. Like, we had one job, guy, and it was to keep the egg safe. And how many did you eat? This is a problem. And then, of course, the nice character development for Mando and Frog Lady, their relationship really turned when she said, I guess these are just stories for children. Really liked that line a lot.
Cut deep.
It was a good one, because Mando was like, son of a gun, she created me. She created me, and I got to do, and he's like walking out like, that wasn't part of the deal. He gets his little toolkit and starts soldering things back. And then my final one, again, these are more funny, is the hot tub breaking up the scene. They're collecting the eggs, and the child is about to bob for apples. And he goes, no, no. And with the finger wag, he goes, no. Like, the second no was so funny. Because I see myself doing that all the time with the kids, just going, no, yep. Annie, no. Because you had to change your tone because it wasn't working. And just the finger wag. I need a gif of it. I'm going to work on that tonight. Got to get that finger wag on this. And when someone asks me for something, I'm just going to go, no.
Nope.
No. And it's great. And that's awesome.
Not just fiction. It's a lesson on parenting as well.
This is, I mean, this is hitting all the buttons for me. So great limited lines of dialogue, but some great lines of dialogue for sure. Now we move into our final segment as we start to look at the future, the predictions. So let's just make our very small connections from chapter 9 to chapter 10. and that's it. There was nothing that really happened. We're still looking for Mandos. We're still moving. The only thing that's really different now is that the Razor Crest is in beat up shape, and they're heading to Trask, which I believe is the planet. I did notice something. Can I just sidebar? Just the navigation that he set, the course, looped him around two planets in their gravitational well. I noticed that. I thought that was pretty cool that it started like north, and as he was going south, he looped around one planet and looped around a second planet to make their way. I guess that was the chart that he made for himself, which is why he was so close to a planet when the X-Wings came to him. Something mm-hmm. I noticed, just remembering it now. Anyways, nice. So predictions-wise, they're pretty beat up. They've got no hull integrity. Mando throws out a pretty good line that he goes, "Let me know if the door breaks open." And he goes, "Just kidding, we'd all be dead. I'm going to take a nap." Actually, I forgot about that line, but I think that line's also funny. By the way, she, I don't think, can understand a word he's saying. So he's talking to no one. Or maybe she understands basic. I guess she does. I don't know.
Was she understanding him through the droid?
I guess. I don't know. Plot hole. I don't like it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Trask. Is Trask the water world we saw in the trailer? And will they be traveling by boat in the next episode? That's my first question for the crowd. Take it away.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Frogs are amphibious. So naturally you're going to go to a place that will have water.
Yes.
And yeah, so I think it's going to be the water planet. And I think that you're going to that scene from the trailer where they're on the ship. I think that's going to come into play here in the next episode.
Will Kevin Costner play a role in finding the Mandalorians?
The smokers are going to come after the Mandalorian on this one.
Tangent.
Have to go to the atoll. That's way too much Waterworld knowledge.
Waterworld is a underrated movie, and I love it.
Love it.
Okay. Back to
it's way too long.
It doesn't matter. I want the epic. Anyways, the dystopian future of the Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, aka Waterworld. Yeah, so I think that's a pretty easy connection to make. They're probably, you know, the Razor Crest is going to land with a thud, and then what happens? I don't know. Fix it. We've got errands to run, Frog Lady. Come with me. Come on. And then they get on the boat.
Here's my toolkit.
Here's my yes. You should be able to fix it.
In the next 40 years.
I have another question. Will there ever be actual Mandalorians, or is this dude on a wild goose chase?
Yes. I just think they're drawing it out. Just building it up, and then eventually it's maybe like that, kind of like the portal scene from Avengers where not like, yeah, you know, thousands of them or hundreds of them show up, but he all of a sudden has like this crew that's backing him up. Mm-hmm. It would be a little depressing if he's just going around doing all this stuff and there's no Mandalorians.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay, but then maybe that's also how they could tie in Boba Fett, even though, you know, that there's the Mandalorian connection there, but, yeah. I think he's going to see some at some point, whether or not they are, you know, going to help him or not. I mean, that's the creed, but I say yes. Yeah. Otherwise, what are we doing this whole season?
Yeah. I also say, yeah, I like Favreau's not going to show up and be like on your left, but, Mando makes that mention of, you know, if I could locate other coverts. So apparently, I'm assuming through the armor, he knows that there are other coverts out there. And you're absolutely going to hear him say again, "I've been quested to take this child back to its kind."
Oh, he did not say that this episode. I'm proud of him for not saying that at all.
Mark safe from not hearing the Mandalorian say, "I've been quested."
All right, you both fell for my trap. I laid some breadcrumbs for you, so let me hit you with the deep cut question, because this is the real question. Will Moff Gideon recruit the coverts and turn Mando against Mando?
Ooh. Oh, man. I love it.
That's great. I say no. I think it's going to be Kara and Grief, and because they were still on the same planet. They were still on Nevarro, so I think he's going to have Kara and Grief. I think we talked about it in that the first episode that we did for this season, like the preview episode. I think my big prediction is going to be the double cross with Kara and Grief on Mando. And
I'm just saying, we still have no Moff Gideon sighting. We had a mention of, is it the covert from Nevarro? You know? And that's enough of a connection for me to make, hey, listen, Moff Gideon, I have the Darksaber. I can now control the Mandalorian as per tradition states. And, you know, he is a bad... He went against the Guild. It's only a matter of time that he goes against the Creed. He's protecting something and putting your livelihood in danger. He's already messed up one covert. It's only a matter of time that he messes up yours. Recruiting, building his army of man. Could you imagine that the season ends with an army of Mandalorians against the three of them? Just give us the child and you're fine. And they hand over the child and the season's over.
And then he says, I've been quested with bringing back <Bruce. laughs> End of the season.
Man, that would be some heavy stuff.
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy,
and I would love it though. Like that would just make things like wow. But also, I'd be like,
stakes.
When season three start.
Damn it! that stakes. That's what we're talking about. It's talking about real. They have to make real decisions at this point. But anyways, that were my three questions. Did anybody have any questions or suggestions or predictions into Chapter 11?
I think we see Sabine Wren in Chapter 11.
Okay.
Obviously, if they're heading towards that planet and they're going to be on a boat, you know, in the trailer, we saw Sasha Banks, and she hasn't been confirmed, all but confirmed, that she's going to be Sabine.
Yeah.
So I think now's the time to introduce familiar characters. Like, we had our little side quest. And also, to paraphrase Mike, I think the Frog Lady is going to be Dunzo. I think the eggs will live on, but the Frog Lady will not make it out trying to keep her lineage alive there.
Interesting.
She won't be able to hop fast enough, because that was scary as well.
That was crazy. Out of nowhere. She went from like relaxation vacation to just like, oh, let's get the hell out of here, and just like hopping around like crazy.
Not only
it was pretty cool.
Did she hop around? I blinked. She used her tongue to get her clothes, and in an instant they were on her. Like bang, boom! They were on her, and just you got to watch it again. Now you got to watch for it right out of the hot tub. Clothes, it was awesome.
It was like a Broadway change. Like went back, boom.
It was good. Yeah. Okay. So I mean, again, Frog Lady being Dunzo. Yeah, we're sad about it, but again, that's fine. You know, if that happens, it happens. It's fine. But I do like the Sabine Wren connection. My only thing is I really watched Rebels. She ends up on Lothal. Just watching over the city and, you know, waiting for, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched Rebels, Ezra Bridger, hoping he comes back. Now, that's how many years passed, 60 or 70 years, I don't know, I don't remember. Maybe she's moved on. Maybe she's joined Ahsoka. Maybe she's on Team Ahsoka or Ashoka, whatever you want to say. I don't care. But I think it's plausible and I think it's probably going to happen. I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree too. That was my big thing, is that you're going to get introduced to Sasha Banks' character, who's most likely Sabine Wren.
Well, that's just lovely. Anything else on the prediction front, friends?
I don't think so. I'm going into this next chapter with like a little bit lower expectations based off of this one.
For sure.
So that way, I'm hoping I come out like, oh wow, that was awesome.
Because
this one wasn't bad after you unpack it, but just, you know, at face value, it was just kind of like, all right, like, you know, the Mando's going to make it out alive. You know, the child's not going to die. Like, we have a side character. Maybe they get offed or whatever the case is by the spiders. And, you know, cool callbacks, some neat Easter eggs. But, you know, ultimately, like, I think we just need to really start, like, putting the pedal to the floor and, like, get this story moving.
Agreed. Well, I'll read off Mr. Mike's little thing he wrote. He said he loved it, but honestly, would also love Mando preparing his dinner. Give me all the Star Wars, the good, the bad, the legends, the canon, and the ugly. You know, he said Filoni likes his deep cuts. We talked about that. I love the opening scene and laughed out loud with the jetpack incident. I also love the practical effects. I am almost certain when they shown the X-Wings alongside the Razor, they were actual school model dioramas. If that is true, that is such a homage to the original films. So we're on the same wavelength there. That's his initial reaction. More to come later. Thank you, Mike, for that. Appreciate that response. But we're just looking forward. It's Monday. It's 11:09. We've got 4 days left. You've got 4 days to listen to this episode. We hope you've enjoyed Chapter 10, The Passenger. Our one-sentence summaries, our highlights, our stormtroopers, our notices, our lines of dialogue, and, of course, our predictions into Chapter 11. It's been real, gents. I'm going to take a moment and go slurp down some eggs. And I'll see you next time over on We Have Spoken. And as they say, in a galaxy far, far away, even though Mando knows nothing of the Force, may the Force be with you. Star Wars by MRC Tech, created by Sean, found on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, can be streamed from mrctechllc.com. Follow Sean and MRC Tech on all the socials. Search out MRC Tech and you will surely find them. Catch all the exciting Star Wars action in a podcast form. But don't forget, MRC Tech also streams content like games and Lego builds and is also a tech specialist. Reach out if you ever need help. Music provided by Incompetech, the Baltic House Orchestra, Pandemics, and ChillHop.com. Copyrighted 2020. Cheers, and may the Force be with you.
This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit Red5Network.com.